Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Your Alarm Call. We ask you now to join us as Miss Joanna Bernier blesses you with a song, followed shortly by Reverend Ron Bernier with words that may very well change your life today. Ladies and gentlemen, Your Alarm Call!
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, as you are well aware, for the past several weeks we have been covering the error in the church, the false teachers and the false prophets who have snuck in unaware and are bringing in the false doctrine that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spoke to us about, that the Holy Spirit said would be prevalent in the end time. Today I'd like to take a few moments and share with you exactly why that has happened. Many of you have heard me say many, many times that we need to, if we have to, we need to ask God to take away all of the other so-called power gifts, and we need to get on our hands and face and our knees before God and beg Him to give us, the church, the gift of discernment, that we can discern the false teachers from the true teachers, that we can discern good from bad doctrine, that we can discern truth and error. Now, that sounds like an easy thing, but it's getting harder and harder to do as some of these teachers are coming in and they're mixing a lot of truth with a little bit of error. Remember, Jesus said a little leaven would totally destroy the whole loaf. We must be careful of what we're listening to. We've got to be careful of what type of food we are taking into our spirit. For those of you who have your Bibles, I would appreciate it if you would open your Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter 2. And I want to show you one of the reasons that we have so much false teaching in the church today. And I'm going to start from verse 12. It's Acts chapter 2 and verse 12. And the word of the Lord said, "And they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, saying to one another, What meaneth this? Others mocked, and they said, These men are full of the new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day." And this is the key, brothers and sisters, listen to this, please. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Peter. "But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath." I bring you back up to the key of this. The Apostle Peter, speaking by the Holy Spirit, says, "But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." Listen to what the Spirit saith unto the church. 2,000 years ago, Peter said this. That's happening right now. This is what was spoken of, that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. This is it right now. Not a week from now, not 2 weeks from now, not 2,000 years from now, but right now. This is it. This is it. It's coming to pass right now. And he's talking about the prophecy of Joel, and he's saying right then, 2,000 years ago, that's what took place in that upper room. The prophecy of Joel was fulfilled. Now, we have brothers and sisters that are confused today, that are still trying to make this prophecy come to pass today. I want to tell you, if you could get 2 million Christians, you couldn't find 2 million of them, but if you could find 2 million of them, you could get them all together in an upper room someplace, and you could have them pray from now until they dropped over dead from starvation. You could not repeat, and hear me, you could not repeat this, because this is not the time for it. The time for it was 2,000 years ago when the Apostle Peter spoke it. That was the time for that to happen. That was the dispensation for that time. That was the move of the Holy Spirit for that time. It is not the move of the Holy Spirit for this time. We need to get a hold of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us right now. We need to know what's happening at this time. For those of you that have your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 2 and 3. For Jesus is speaking, and he says, "He replied, When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." Isn't it amazing that Jesus rebukes the people, not because they're going to crucify him, not because they're going to pull his hair out and put the crown of thorn on and give him the cross and all the rest of it, but he rebukes them because they cannot discern the time. How much more is he going to rebuke us for not being able to discern the time? We need to discern the time, and we need to know what God is saying about our time. Now, Jesus is speaking back in Matthew 16 to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's speaking to them today. He is saying that, you know, we can't go back to the prophecy of Joel. But there are things that the Lord has said that are going to happen in this time, in our time, and that is what we need to look to. We need to look to what is happening today, what God has given for this dispensation, what Jesus says is going to happen in our time, and that's what we have to do. We have to be ready for that we too can discern and give a proper answer to people when they ask us what is happening. Now, if you take the time to look through your Bible, you're going to find a great many things that Jesus spoke about today. As I've said before, and I'll repeat again, we are no longer looking for the last days. We are looking at the last days. We're not looking for judgment to begin at the house of God. It's already begun. In fact, it's not only begun, it's already swept through the house of God, and I believe it's just about totally finished. I sincerely believe that it's just about finished, that the house of God has been judged by the Lord just about as much as it's going to. God has revealed the flimflam. God has revealed the false teachers. God has revealed the false prophets. He has manifested those who claim to be Christ. And certainly there are many of them. There are thousands of them, both in this country and other countries. His disciples came to him in Matthew 24. And speaking of the last days, they said, Lord, can you tell us, can you show us a sign of when those days are going to be? Can you tell us what the sign will be? And Jesus had many things to speak to them. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Revelation, all of these things speak to us, the book of Daniel, as to what is to happen in our time. That's what we need to do. We need to look at what's going to happen in our time. What will happen to us? One of the things Jesus said is he said it will be as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah was a place that was full of sexual immorality, sexual perversion. We had homosexuality, lesbianism, transvestites, you name it, they had it. They went so far as they even tried to rape the angels who had come down to bid God, to bring God's word to the man of God. And God said, in the last days, it will be as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look around. Look at the parades they have out in Los Angeles where the homosexuals and the lesbians march down the street, literally shaking their fist at heaven and at God. And look at the things that are said. They say that God is a homosexual. They say that David, King David of Jerusalem, was a homosexual. They say the most blasphemous things. And rarely, if ever, do I hear a Christian even stand up and say anything. The churches are now ordaining, practicing homosexuals, practicing lesbians, are ordaining them to get behind the pulpit and to dare speak the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's happening all over. We have choreographed dancing going on in the churches. And Jesus said to the apostles, if anyone will not welcome you, remember when he sent them out, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, he said to shake the dust off your feet. And when you leave that home or that town, I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Because in this day, we have the Word of God to read. We should know better than that. We ought to know what's going on. And Jesus said he will judge this generation with even a stricter judgment because of that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 3 and 4, the Word of the Lord says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside unto myths. Look around. How many people chase after the word of faith doctrine? They go from city to city. They spend half the money they got flying from city to city that they can hear some other speaker from the word of faith doctrine. What is it? It's greed. They believe that godliness is a mean unto financial gain. They believe that if they say a certain prayer enough times, if they do a certain thing, repeat a mantra enough times, whatever, somehow they're going to get some money out of it. And yet these people cannot seem to grasp the fact, it never seems to dawn on them, that it does not work. that the only ones getting any money out of this, the only ones getting rich out of this, the millionaires out of this, and they are millionaires, are the teachers, the false teachers, who keep shoving this stuff down their throat, who use all kinds of tricks and gimmicks to see if they can get them to go for it. They're sending out aprons that you're supposed to touch and they're going to make you well. They're sending out little seed packets of faith and you're supposed to touch these things and send them a check and plan them and all of your worries are over with. They get up there and they preach divine health. Now, don't get confused here between divine health and divine healing. I believe in divine healing. God can heal anybody he wants at any time he wants. He's healed me before. I know he can do it. But God never, in any way, shape, or form, promised us divine health, that we would never get sick. And yet they say that anyone who gets sick doesn't have enough faith. And yet we have doctors' records that prove that the very people that say this have their own family doctors, and they go to them all the time. They send their kids to them. They send their wife to them. But they don't tell you that part of it. They come on the stage and they say, if you send me so much money, one of them had the guts. I actually heard him say this. I was there in person. He said, if you don't have the money to buy my set of tapes, you ought to go out and mortgage your house. This is what he said. You need to go out and take out a loan. You need to mortgage your house and get the money that you can buy my tapes. I believe they were $785 for his set of tapes, and you would walk in divine health. Now, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, says we're to be in debt to no man. God said, don't go mortgage your house. That's not a request. That's a command. Do not do it. And yet this man goes totally against God and says, pay no attention to God. Go out and mortgage your house so you can send me the money. And what do these people do? They go out and mortgage their house and they send him the money. And God says, after a while, he will give them over. He will give them over to believe this lie. And they will believe it with everything. Can you think of anything sadder than every morning you get up and you look in the mirror and you see yourself in that mirror, you see a beautiful man or a beautiful woman, whatever the case may be, and you see it and you absolutely believe it because it's in that mirror. You see it there every day. You know it's there. You believe that. But in the end, when you stand before God, and God brings up the mirror, and you look in the mirror, all of a sudden you don't see that beautiful man or that beautiful woman. Instead, you see a pig or some kind of a moron or a monkey or something. And God will say that's what it's always been. But I brought this delusion upon you that you might believe the lie. Why did God do that? Simply, the Lord says, because you loved not the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. You didn't love Jesus. You didn't do what Jesus told you to do. You didn't want what Jesus had for you because the life of the cross is a crucified life. It is a disciplined life. It is a life where you may, not everybody, but you may have to live in a certain amount of poverty. You may have to go through a certain amount of sickness. Everybody who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's the absolute promise of God. That's not a request or a thought or an idea. That's a promise. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you are going to suffer persecution. The world is going to hate you. It's not going to love you like it does some of these so-called televangelists where everybody loves them and the president calls them in and has chats with them and they can brag about how many presidents they know and how many they've played golf with. It's not that way for the true man and woman of God. And the scoffers in 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, the word of the Lord said, first of all, you must understand that in the last days the scoffers will come. They will come. They will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will follow their own covetousness, their own sexual immorality, their own sexual perversion. I don't know if many of you have been paying attention lately, but there's a half a dozen churches, literally, and denominations that are on the verge of bankruptcy because of all of the lawsuits for the sexual immorality and perversion, and especially that which they have done upon the little children There was one of them out just the other day that the Church of Scientology, if they lost all of their lawsuits, they would literally, thank God, have to fold up all of their churches and go out of business because they wouldn't have the money to pay them off. There was a so-called secret letter that came out several weeks ago. It's on the web. You can take it down and look at it yourself. It was supposed to go out privately to the elders of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower Society. And what it was a letter to the elders telling them how to hide the records of the pedophiles that were among the ranks of the elders, how to hide those records so the police and the public wouldn't know about it, so they wouldn't become involved in legal suits, so it wouldn't cost them even more money. Because if they were charged with all of the offenses that they have committed, if they couldn't cover and protect these ministers anymore, they too would literally be forced to file bankruptcy. They'd have to go out of business. They'd have to close the churches. That's not even to begin talking about the Catholic Church and the amount of priests who are up on charges, the amount of nuns who are up on charges, the amount of nuns who have reported that they have been sexually assaulted, and all of the other things that have taken place. These are all happening in the church. I'm not talking about some mad, drunken fool out here in the streets. I'm talking about those behind the pulpits who claim to be men and women of God, but who are involved in every type of ungodly act you can imagine. They are filled with ungodly desires. In the book of Jude 18 and 19, the word of the Lord said, "In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires." Look at that, their own ungodly desires, the desire for finances, for power, for sexual immorality, for sexual perversion. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Do not have the Spirit of God. They have a spirit, all right, but that spirit is fresh out of hell. And it is there to divide the body of Christ. It is there to tear them apart. Anybody ever look up the word denominations? The very word denominations, the very word itself means to split, to tear apart, to rip out an arm, if you would, to rip it out of the body, to rip a leg out and to just leave it there bleeding and dying. And that's basically what's taking place. And these men follow their natural instincts. There are no good natural instincts. They are only evil. Sexual immorality, sexual perversion. They want the finances. They want the power. They want their name over the door. They want all the guys want all the women chasing them. The women want all the guys looking at them. Well, they're getting it. The body of Christ is being torn apart by these people. And there's two reasons for that. One, because these people are following their own natural desire. And two, because nobody is standing up and saying anything. We need to start standing up and we need to start screaming, "Ichabod, the glory of God has departed." Remember, if we read the Old Testament, we'll find out that when the glory of God was taken away from the temple, when the Ark of the Covenant was taken, when it was not there, the church or the temple did better financially than it ever did. It was growing. People were coming from all over. Financially, they were growing. And as soon as the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as the glory of God came back, then came the persecution, then came the poverty, then came the attacks. People don't want that. They want the way of the world. They want a king like the world's got a king. And even King David, in his goodness, he set out to do the right thing. But he did it the wrong way, because the word of the Lord said that he had to send the Levites to get it. And he didn't. He sent the regular priest out to get it, and several people had to die before he realized what was happening and did it God's way. We have to do it God's way. That's the only way we will do it. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Brothers and sisters, hear me on this. The word of the Lord said, "Hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." And the word of God says this, but mark this. "There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, selfish. They will be lovers of money." Have you seen them? They're all on the Beelzebub Network. They call it TBN. I call it the Beelzebub Network. They are lovers of money. They are boastful. They are proud. They are abusive. They are boastful. Oh, boy, have you ever heard them? What they're going to do to people that come against them, and God's going to kill everybody that come against them, and on and on and on. It's just unbelievable. And they are proud. They come on there in their $3,000 suits and their Rolex watches and all of the rest of it. Disobedient unto their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. They do not have a disciplined life. They don't have a controlled life. They don't live in according to the Word of God. They're brutal. They're not lovers of the good, but rather they're treacherous, they're rash, they're conceited. They're lovers of pleasure. Why do you think so many of them are being taken to court? Why do you suppose so many of them are being caught in these sexual things that they're being caught in? As far as I'm concerned, when a man has a moral failure and he's caught in homosexuality or adultery, he should be taken out of the pulpit and never put back in it. But they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They don't stand there with a holiness and an awesome fear of God. They love their pleasure. They have a form of godliness. They'll stand behind that pulpit. They'll have the suit and tie on, and they know all the right words, and they know the right steps, but they will deny the power. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. This is not my words. This is God's word. God gives you a command, and that command is this. Have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to have nothing to do with them? Are you ready to walk away from them, to walk away from that church, to find a church that preaches the truth of the Word of God? I don't even have time to get into the book of Matthew and read you where Jesus talked about wars and rumors of wars. And those are racial wars if you look up the word. They're certainly going on. They're going on all over. The love of many will wax cold. I've told you before, it will wax cold. That means degree by degree, so slowly, we'll hardly notice it when it comes in. False Christ. But no one will know the day or the hour. It will be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. My brothers and my sisters, ladies and gentlemen, please pray that our eyes be opened, that we can discern the time. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to join us again next week at the same time and on this same station. Remember, as always, if you would like to reach us, you can do so on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also call us anytime, day or night, at 417-335-4529. You can send us traditional mail to P.O. Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've liked what you've heard here, please send us an email and let us know that you heard the radio broadcast, and let us know what station and what city you heard it in. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's something that we can do on this radio broadcast to enhance your spiritual life, then please let us know and we will do our best, and we will pray and try and do that. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name.